You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. A SIM swapper faces prison and fines. Here come the class action suits against United Health Group. Aviation and aerospace find themselves in the cyber crosshairs. A major mortgage lender suffers a major data breach. A look at election misinformation. The UK shares guidance on migrating SCADA systems to the cloud. Collaborative efforts to contain smoke loader. Trend Micro uncovers Earth Krahang. Troy Hunt weighs in on the alleged AT&T data breach. Ben Yellen unpacks the case between OpenAI and the New York Times. And fool me once, shame on you. You know the rest. It's Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. Thank you for joining us here today. It is great to have you with us. Jonathan Katz, a 42-year-old former telecommunications store manager from Marlton, New Jersey, pleaded guilty to participating in a scheme involving unauthorized SIM swaps. Katz admitted to using his managerial credentials to access customer accounts and swap their subscriber identity module numbers to devices controlled by an accomplice, who compensated Katz with Bitcoin for the swaps. This enabled the accomplice to take over the victim's phones and access their emails, social media, and cryptocurrency accounts. The plea was entered in a Camden federal court on March 12, 2024, before Chief U.S. District Judge Renee Marie Boom. Katz now faces a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison and a fine up to $250,000, or double the monetary gain or loss from the crime. Sentencing is scheduled for July 16, 2024. Advanced Obstetrics and Gynecology in Mississippi has filed a class action suit against United Health Group, alleging disruptions from a cyber attack on Change Healthcare have delayed claims processing, threatening bankruptcy for medical providers. The complaint, filed on March 14th, represents all U.S. medical providers affected by the February 21st cyber attack's fallout. The lawsuit claims the attack has prevented payments for services, risking the financial stability of healthcare providers, including the plaintiff, who has missed approximately $133,000 in payments as of March 14th. The legal action accuses Change Healthcare of failing to secure its systems adequately, leading to widespread service disconnections. While United Health Group asserts the attack was limited to Change Healthcare's IT systems, the lawsuit highlights the broader implications for healthcare providers reliant on timely claim payments. The incident reflects the critical need for robust cybersecurity measures within healthcare IT infrastructure and raises questions about liability and protection against cyber-induced operational disruptions. The aviation and aerospace sectors are fighting increased attention from cyber attackers. T-Minus host Maria Vermasis has the story.
We're starting our show today looking at a brand new report from cybersecurity firm ReSecurity that's titled Aviation and Aerospace Sectors Face Skyrocketing Cyber Threats. And the report points to the increasingly interconnected aerospace sector, from design to supply chain and operations, as one of the reasons for the more than 600% increase in cybersecurity attacks on the aerospace industry in 2022 alone. And more recently, also, the ongoing importance of space assets in the war in Ukraine has also certainly put space infrastructure in the hacker spotlight, not to mention the continuing discussion about designating or not designating space as critical infrastructure. That has also piqued the interest of hacker groups looking to extort aerospace operations with ransomware attacks. But the increasing use of internet-enabled devices, and that's good old-fashioned IoT for those of us keeping track at home, that has, in the words of this new report, drastically amplified the attack surface for aerospace organizations at more granular levels of their supply chain.
Be sure to check out the T-Minus Daily Space Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Nations Direct Mortgage reported a data breach in December 2023 that affected over 83,000 individuals, exposing personal details such as names, addresses, social security numbers, and loan numbers. Although the breach allowed unauthorized system access, there's no evidence of data removal or misuse. The company says they've contained the incident and notified authorities and is offering free identity monitoring services to those impacted. It also faces a class action lawsuit related to the breach. This incident adds Nations Direct to the list of major U.S. financial services firms experiencing security breaches recently, alongside Fidelity National Financial, First American, loanDepot, Mr. Cooper, and Prudential Financial. Nations Direct is a significant mortgage lender in the U.S., approved by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Rick Ferguson is the Vice President of Security Intelligence at Forescout, and in a piece published by Security Week, he outlines the escalating challenge of AI-driven disinformation, particularly in the context of political campaigns. Ferguson warns that the issues observed during the 2020 U.S. presidential election may pale in comparison to what future elections could face. The advancement of artificial intelligence and analytics has the potential to accelerate the creation, dissemination, and impact of disinformation. To combat this, an understanding of AI's role in disinformation is crucial. The report breaks down an AI-driven disinformation campaign into four key steps: reconnaissance, content creation, amplification, and actualization. Ferguson emphasizes the urgent need for security teams to proactively address these AI-powered disinformation tactics. Strategies such as pre-bunking are highlighted as essential to psychologically prepare the public for disinformation impacts, suggesting a focused approach for security teams to mitigate the advancing tactics of malicious actors ahead of significant events like the 2024 election cycle. Meanwhile, YouTube has introduced a policy requiring users to disclose the use of synthetic media or generative AI in videos that alter reality in a realistic manner, like falsifying events or swapping faces. This is to combat AI-generated misinformation ahead of the U.S. presidential election. However, the policy exempts AI-generated animations targeting children and minor aesthetic AI enhancements from this disclosure requirement. This decision allows content creators to produce and upload animated content for children without revealing the use of AI, raising concerns about the quality and authenticity of such videos. YouTube's move aims to address the spread of misleading AI-generated content while also acknowledging challenges in moderating children's content. The platform's history of struggles with moderating content for kids is noted by critics, alongside the potential for AI tools to exacerbate these issues by facilitating the rapid production of low-quality videos. The UK's National Cybersecurity Centre has released guidance for organizations considering the migration of their supervisory control and data acquisition systems to the cloud. Recognizing SCADA's critical role in infrastructure and its vulnerability to cyber attacks, the guidance aims to navigate both the benefits and challenges of such a transition. It highlights the fundamental changes in management, security, and connectivity, emphasizing the need for enhanced cybersecurity policies, skills, and consideration of shared services' impact on security. The guide also discusses the suitability of technology for cloud migration, architectural considerations, and the potential risks of increased attack exposure due to internet connectivity. Experts advocate for a zero-trust approach to improve cyber resilience in light of these migrations. Palo Alto Networks Unit 42 reports on a collaboration with Ukraine in combating Smoke Loader, also known as Dofoil or Sherik, a malware targeting Windows systems. Originating from Russian cybercrime circles since 2011, it functions primarily as a loader with information-stealing capabilities. Ukrainian financial and governmental sectors are increasingly targeted by Smoke Loader through phishing emails, indicating a concerted effort to disrupt operations and steal data. Researchers from Trend Micro have uncovered a significant Chinese cyber espionage campaign called Earth Krehong that's possibly linked to the obscure cybersecurity firm iSoon. This campaign shares multiple connections with the Earth Luska Group, suspected to be iSoon's penetration team, a Chinese government contractor. The revelation came after a GitHub leak exposed iSoon's internal structure, suggesting two separate penetration subgroups. Earth Krehong has targeted 116 organizations across 35 countries, compromising 70, mostly in Southeast Asia, including 48 government organizations with foreign affairs departments being a primary focus. The campaign utilizes government infrastructure for further attacks, hosting malicious payloads and spear phishing using compromised government emails. Tactics include VPN servers on compromised servers for access, brute force attacks for email credentials, and cyber espionage as the ultimate goal. Despite differences in initial attack backdoors, overlaps with Earth Luska's infrastructure and malware suggest a connection between the two campaigns. Troy Hunt takes a closer look at the breach of over 70 million records that online hackers say came from AT&T, but that AT&T themselves deny. The incident began back in 2021 when the data was put up for sale on a dark web forum, with the entire data set now freely available online, magnifying the potential threat to individuals' privacy. Given AT&T's stance that the data did not come from their systems, this assertion of authenticity leaves researchers like Troy Hunt in a tricky position, trying to validate the breach without direct evidence from the supposed source. Utilizing Bleeping Computer's initial report as a starting point, Hunt embarked on a mission to verify the data's authenticity. Leveraging Have I Been Pwned allowed him to cross-reference the breach against 4.8 million subscribers, revealing that 153,000 of them were indeed present in this dataset. He reached out to a small sample of these individuals for verification, receiving confirmation of the data's accuracy, including sensitive details like social security numbers, some of which were decrypted, indicating a sophisticated level of access by the threat actors. Hunt is convinced the dataset is real, although AT&T's continued denials complicate his and other researchers' attempts to determine the breach's original source. Coming up after the break, Ben Yellen unpacks the case between OpenAI and the New York Times. Stay with us. Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business. And it is always my pleasure to welcome back to the show Ben Yellen. He is my co-host on the Caveat podcast and also from the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Ben, welcome back.
Good to be with you again, Dave.
Interesting reporting here from Reuters about OpenAI, who are the makers of ChatGPT. They are asking a federal judge to dismiss parts of the New York Times' copyright lawsuit against them. What's going on here, Ben?
So the New York Times filed a suit against OpenAI, saying that they are violating the New York Times's, or OpenAI is violating the New York Times's intellectual property rights. Mm-hmm. Basically, that they're stealing New York Times content in the output of their chatbot.
Right.
OpenAI has filed a motion to a federal judge to dismiss parts of the New York Times lawsuit. And their claim is that the New York Times, quote, hacked ChatGPT and other AI systems to generate misleading evidence for the case. What's interesting to me is OpenAI isn't accusing the New York Times of violating, like, federal anti-hacking statutes.
Okay.
That's how I would understand hacking. What they are alleging, rather, is that the Times caused the technology to reproduce its material through, quote, deceptive prompts that blatantly violate OpenAI's terms of use.
Huh.
I'm not exactly sure what that means. what I think happened is somebody within the Times who might have some type of specialized knowledge in chatbots figured out a way to type something into the chatbot designed to produce that copyrighted material.
Right.
In a way that a normal person might not be able to do.
Yeah.
What the New York Times here is saying, I think quite reasonably, is yes, we did do that because that's going to be discovery in our lawsuit. We're trying to show a court, maybe eventually a jury, that our copyrighted material can and may end up as part of an answer to somebody's question on ChatGPT. So yes, we did do that, but there's nothing untoward about us doing that. That was part of our discovery process, and that this litigation should continue. And OpenAI claims that in the ordinary course of its business, one cannot use ChatGPT to serve up New York Times articles at will. It would take the type of specialized knowledge that apparently one New York Times tactician or employee has to reprint New York Times articles verbatim.
Right.
So I think that's really the nature of the dispute here.
So OpenAI is saying in their filing that it took the Times tens of thousands of attempts to generate the highly anomalous results. Now, obviously, them saying they're highly anomalous, is that's their take on it. But you'd think that OpenAI would have they'd have the logs to know if it did indeed take the Times tens of thousands of attempts to generate this sort of thing. So it seems to me like that could be compelling to demonstrate that if you want our machine to spit out this sort of thing, you got to really want it.
Right. You have to manipulate it in such a way that a normal person would not be able to manipulate it.
Right.
And I think that could be compelling in a copyright case. So if you're trying to claim damages from the reproduction of your copyrighted work,
mm-hmm.
if the other company argues, well, you know, it takes millions of attempts or however many it took, and in the normal course of business, nobody who uses ChatGPT would actually be able to do that, that's going to be compelling evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's ultimately OpenAI's strategy here in trying to get the case dismissed. They may not get the case dismissed, but this may be good evidence eventually in their trial to say, the New York Times couldn't properly allege legal harm here because, you know, what they can allege is that with brute force, eventually some of their copyrighted material will be reproduced.
Right.
That's not a sufficient allegation to show harm in a legal sense. And I think that's going to be part of their strategy here.
There's another thing here that caught my eye from what OpenAI put in front of the judge here. They said, the Times cannot prevent AI models from acquiring knowledge about facts any more than another news organization can prevent the Times itself from re-reporting stories it had no role in investigating. Zing.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is some truth to that.
Right, that's exactly.
The AI model is learning from what it sees on the capital I internet, right? And some of that is going to include copyrighted material. Now, you can put up guardrails so that it doesn't literally reproduce articles, but like, if the information is out there, should ChatGPT not have access to that information?
Yeah.
I mean, if New York Times has an exclusive story on something, you know, probably eventually other news articles with attribution to the New York Times are going to bring it up.
Exactly.
And that becomes a news story. That's information that's out there. Why should people who are trying to get information on ChatGPT not have access to that information?
And you can't copyright a fact. And if that fact is the New York Times reports, whatever, that the fact that the New York Times reported something can't be copyrighted.
I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Now, trust us, we are not being paid by OpenAI to say this. I know it kind of seems like we are taking their side against
the
New York Times.
We're in the pocket for big LLM.
Big LLM, yeah.
right.
No, that is not us. This is just how we see it in this particular case.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's interesting to me as this goes through to see where things are being chipped away. Right, the to see the legal arguments, to see, because this is so new and novel, and I think what's really interesting about it is the way that it's shining a light on how our copyright law exists today, and it's exposing what I believe are some of the areas where it's gotten kind of creaky.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's a proper application of traditional intellectual property law to these chatbots or these LLMs, that's going to be useful and applicable in every single one of these cases because it's not a straight reproduction. I mean, there are going to be limited cases where maybe it is if you get an expert to go at it with brute force. But in most circumstances, it's not a straight reproduction.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to take years of litigation to kind of settle where these cases are going to end up.
Yeah. All right. Well, Ben Yellen, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And And finally, ransomware groups such as the Russian-speaking Akira frequently threaten to publish stolen data on dark web leak sites to extort victims. However, publishing this data often proves challenging, and some victims never appear on the sites. Threat intelligence firm Keela reports that even after paying ransoms, victims rarely receive the promised outcomes, such as effective decryption tools or evidence of data deletion. Keela's report highlights that Akira has never been proven to sell stolen data and often fails to honor commitments, like deleting negotiation chats or providing functional decryptors. The report also notes that ransom demands typically range from 0.1% to 12% of a victim's annual revenue, with victims often negotiating significant discounts. Security experts advise against paying ransoms, recommending instead investing in preparation, such as robust backup and recovery systems and incident response plans. Our hearts go out to any organization that finds themselves victims of these ransomware groups. It's a no-win situation and puts you in the unenviable position of deciding whether to trust someone who just robbed you blind. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at cyberwire@n2k.com. N2K Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter. Learn more at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester, with original music by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producers are Jennifer Iben and Brandon Karp. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. We'll